This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill Hill, could you please turn me one up? Profile This is played.
I sure can. It's a simple game.
Tell me.
Where we share with you a real life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. All right, gentlemen, you are competing against one another today. And as always, you have your choice of one of three categories. Today, we offer you Hit Me With Your Best Shot, where you guess the unconventional object that someone chose to use as a weapon. Animalize This, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem. And finally today, License to Spill, where you guess the substance that made the mess. Oh, it's too hippie. Have another hippie.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
A 56-year-old woman in Florida named Shelley Hardwick. She got into a verbal altercation with her boyfriend last Sunday. And things got serious when she picked up something and threw it at the guy. Now, fortunately, he was able to dodge it for the most part. Now, she told cops that she only threw it out of frustration, but she denied trying to hit the boyfriend. But the cops looked at him and saw there was some evidence on his face and clothing. He's fine, by the way. Now, Shelley was arrested for a domestic battery, spent the night in jail. She was ordered not to have contact with the boyfriend and to wear an ankle bracelet that monitors alcohol consumption, because, she was real hammered. The question is, what did she throw at her boyfriend? Was it chicken nuggets? Was it a coconut? Was it an orange, or was it a watermelon? So chicken nuggets, coconut, orange, or watermelon. What did this woman launch at her boyfriend and make contact with?
I'm thinking if she actually did some damage, that it's either a coconut or a watermelon.
What time of day did you say it was?
I don't know that they said.
It's in Florida, 56, woman.
Just says last Sunday.
I'll go coconut.
You're going to go coconut.
I think based on remnants, I'm going to go watermelon.
I'm going to say chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets for Ted.
Here's a 20-pack for your face, sucker.
What did she chuck at her boyfriend there? Chicken nuggets, coconuts, orange, or a watermelon? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
You're listening to The Men's Room.
You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9. KISW.
Categories, hit me with your best shots. I'm Profile This.
Yes, sir.
Then a Florida one, she got into a fight with her boyfriend, and then it got physical. Well, actually, she just threw something at him. Must have partially hit him in the face because he had some remnants on there.
Mm-hmm.
But she was pretty drunk and was arrested for battery. Question is, what did she throw at her boyfriend? Chicken nuggets, a coconut, an orange, or a watermelon?
That's a question that I pose to you three fine gentlemen. We start with E. Ted Smith. You went with the chicken nuggets.
Damn.
You're not throwing the chicken nuggets, man. You might throw the salsa at him. I'm like, you got nuggets. Like, I'm mad at you, but I'm going to eat these nuggets.
I won't even give you one.
Yeah.
Those are mine. You make your own.
I'm certainly not throwing one at you.
Yeah.
No, sorry, man.
I make nuggets at home in the air fryer. Give some out.
Would you throw one at someone? You're angry. There's so many other things you can throw.
If I make six for me, there's six for me.
Yeah, of course. Even if I make seven for me.
Yeah. Oh, if I make nuggets at home, we're having at least a 10-piece.
Mike Hawk, you went with the coconut. You're looking for maximum damage.
Right.
Okay, I get a feeling she would have thrown it. Miles, you went with the old watermelon.
Yes.
You are correct. A whole goddamn watermelon,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's insanity to throw a whole watermelon.
A whole watermelon.
Come on.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
I feel, gotta start off with, I was not here on Friday as I was watching the Maryland Terrapins in their first round game. In the NCAA tournament that was here in town.
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody else in this room been to an NCAA tournament game?
I have not.
All right. So on Friday, right, there was two sessions, right? There was the morning session. There was a game at 11. Then you had the Maryland game on at 1:35. Then they kind of clear the arena. Then there's an afternoon session with two more games. Just go.
Really?
Like, I mean, obviously it was super cool because Maryland was involved, but... Man, just the energy. Like, there's a lot of people from out of town to see these other teams.
Of course.
So they're having fun. But then it's just a bunch of other sports nerds that are like, it's just cool to see. And, like, you see it on TV. But when you got those pep bands going, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there's, like, chunks of these fans and that fans.
I was going to say, out of the four in the morning, who traveled best as far as fans?
Ooh. I mean, obviously, the Ducks were playing that night.
Okay.
So Oregon was the closest team. So, like, even during the morning session, there was a ton of Duck fans there.
It's funny.
Which was odd, because last night when you watched that Duck game, you heard a lot of more of U of A chants.
Yeah.
Because I think also there's just enough Seattle Huskies or Coug people that were in that crowd that are like, we hate the Ducks no matter what.
Well, it's funny because I was watching the Michigan State game, and they're like, wow, these fans travel well. Like, they're playing in Cleveland.
So that's the other thing, too, is, like, generally the higher seed you are, and, like, look, I think there are a lot of things that are ridiculous with college sports as much as I love it. So, like, Maryland's in the West. They played in Seattle.
Right.
But, like, Florida, who's technically in the West, too, like, they've only played on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be the regions really mattered where you played, and you wanted to be a higher seed, A, because it's easier, and then B, because you wanted to be close to home. So exactly for that, your fans could travel.
That's exactly
to see you play.
Yeah, I'm like, well, look at all these fans. I'm like, you're in Cleveland, Ohio. They're from Michigan.
Now, with that said, I did have tickets to the first game, but I knew where the team hotel was. So I talked to my brother. You know, I always rely on him for good advice. I said, hey, it's like a little pep rally, team send-off. But, you know, like the sports nerd in me says, go to the first game.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'd go to that send-off. So I was like, all right. So me and two, we had a whole group of us sitting down at Ozzy's having breakfast and having drinks. But, like, three of us went down there, right? And, like, even the waitress was like, hey, you still got your tab open. I was like, don't worry, I'll be back in 20 minutes. That was a lie. It took 40 minutes. But it was awesome. And that's, you've heard me say this before, whether it's a bowl game or going for an NCAA tournament game, to see your team, especially college, on the road, it's just a different atmosphere.
Yeah.
So then you get into that Seattle or the Marriott down there on the waterfront. Miles Testudo's out there. It blew my buddy a kiss. You got, like, half the cheerleaders there. You got the pep band. They keep playing the fight song, all the Maryland chants. If you ever see those giant hats from Noggin Balls, we got free ones.
I was looking at those on TV, man.
Yeah. He's a University of Maryland graduate. I'll wear the big hat on Thursday. I mean, it's awesome. But you see the team out. You're high-fiving people. And, like, I just can't explain it to you. Just a different sporting energy. Then you get back to the arena. People are pumped. People kept coming up to us, and they're like, we saw you guys in the giant hat. Everywhere you go in a giant hat, people are happy to see you.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're like your own human mascot. So, plus it was fun to talk ass to people in a giant hat. Because people were like, I don't know, to take you seriously.
How packed was the arena?
Packed.
Did it seem like it was sold out the morning session?
Hands down.
Okay.
And listen.
Well, that's good for the NBA. I mean, you know, the people paying attention that Seattle is, in fact, a basketball
team. Oh, yeah.
You know?
No, it was super packed. It was awesome. That's what I'm saying. Like, and I didn't go to the evening session, but I know that was, like, just as crowded. And a good job, like I'm saying, like, it's a very fun environment. And then, frankly, you get to see some good teams, too.
Yes.
So, yeah, just an awesome deal.
And we're still playing in the tournament for you.
Right. So then yesterday on Sunday, I did not go to the game, but Maryland, Colorado State, you got to keep in mind, Maryland's the highest scoring starting five, the Crab Five. They average 69 points a game.
There.
But they just couldn't hit a shot all day.
No.
They finally take a lead with about a minute and a half left. You're like, all right. I was like, I feel comfortable. But again, they keep missing shots. Colorado
they
State
missed a lot.
Goes down. Shots. They go up one. Maryland inbounds the ball. Now you have 3.7 seconds left. 3.2. Maryland's only got one shot.
Maryland needs one bucket to keep its season alive. Gillespie from the out of bounds to the freshman queen who's driving. Floats it.
Oh!
Maryland on the right side of a buzzer beater with life into the Sweet 16.
Now, it's easier to play that audio because of a Maryland fan because it was the best game of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Also, the Maryland coach with that win got a $75,000 bonus.
Yeah, for him.
Queen, the freshman, two great lines. They asked the coach after the game. They said, how'd you drop that play? And he said, Queen said, give me the MF and ball.
That's
and then they
quote.
Asked Queen afterwards where he gets his confidence. He said, I'm from Baltimore.
Yep.
So, right.
My brother Patrick. I'm telling you, man, he's the last guy on an average basketball team that you'd want to take your last shot. Right? Typically, like, that's not the guy you're trying to get.
Well, he is freshman of the year.
Yes.
He's that good.
He is.
I said put it in his hands.
Really?
You live and die. Yeah. He's a freshman, but he's that good. I mean, Rice, shout out to Matha guy. It was either going to be in his hands and going down to him, or you start with him inbounding the ball to him.
But yeah, I mean, it was a great shot, man. I flew off the couch, freaked the dog out. Like, holy ass.
Pretty sure my neighbors were a little annoyed. It was just me and my buddy. We were jumping around. A cooler fell over. Also, shout out to Huskies. I went to the Husky baseball game Saturday night. Listen, if you like baseball, like, we're whack jobs. We set up a tailgate. My buddy Jeff, his son, is a pitcher on the team.
All right.
You're allowed to tailgate baseball, but it was pretty fun. We had a couple kids with us. But also, like, if you like baseball, like, I'm telling you, look up the Husky schedule. Like, they're not having the best year, but it's cheap.
Right.
It ain't that crowded. You can pretty much sit wherever you want. If you're the parent, they sell an adult beverage. Mm-hmm. But it's just a good time.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful spot out there on the lake. Let's see. What good news or bad news? Let's start with bad news.
Bad news.
That was all the good news. This one's going to suck for Mike and I. I don't think it'll bother you guys that much just because you don't watch the show as much. But you hear us talking about Impractical Jokers all the time.
Yeah.
So Joe Gatto.
That's who we interviewed, correct?
Yeah. That is who we interviewed. So he had stepped away from the show, basically just said he needed to work on his personal life, which was sound like him and his wife kind of separated.
Yeah.
Then they ended up getting back together, I want to say last year or the year before. But now, two women, last Thursday, one went on TikTok and accused him of sexually assaulting her back in 2023. She, she was 19. Now, Joe Gatto, to his defense, he's basically like, I didn't assault anybody. He's like, yeah. I used poor judgment, may have resulted in violating the trust I have with people I love the most. Working on myself is an ongoing process. I need to take some time for the public eye to focus my energies on where I need to.
Yeah, that sounded very similar to the statement he told us when he was talking about leaving the show and he needed to work on his relationship at home.
Yeah.
And his kids were the most important part, and whatever was going on with he and his wife, just trying to get that patched up. So this is twice in a relatively short period of time where he's kind of issued almost the same statement.
Correct.
Because he quit the show. You know, I mean, he basically said, I want to go do my own thing. But yeah. I think that had to do with something more like, I need to spend more time at home and get this whatever situation is.
I think we figured it out.
Yeah.
Right. And that was always kind of the thing, too. To his credit on the show, I mean, he was pretty hard to beat. Not much things embarrassed him. And I can't remember, Mike, you watched that show before I did. Was he ever a boozer? I know he was pretty strict about, like, not... Right, that he's sober, but I couldn't tell if he was one of those guys that never did and then or did and then quit.
No, I don't believe he ever actually picked up drinking. I think it was his dad was a drinker that he didn't want to repeat. So I think he abstained like from jump.
Yeah, because I want to say Sal and what's his name like
Vern and Q.
Yeah, I think like one of them like Q was a fireman. I think Sal like owned a bar or worked at a bar, but like it's never been a huge part of their show. Every once in a while,
yeah.
They kind of have drinks or whatever, but you'd always notice Gatto did not.
Correct.
See, like, his biggest vice was sweets.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, that was always the thing. Like, you got to have snacks back here. Like, I'm not doing this without snacks.
Then he had the one season where he just trimmed back on everything and he lost a crap ton of weight.
Correct. So, I mean, you never want to hear about anything bad like that, so I don't know. They'll figure it out. With that said, I've watched some of the new Impractical Jokers. Joe was great on it. It's still a very funny show. They've done, I think they've done a good job. They'll bring in like kind of
a guest or whatever.
What's that?
A guest. Like someone
correct.
Who's
they'll
there
bring
for
in like a celebrity.
Yeah,
yeah, kind of have some do some of it with them. I mean, I also think eventually those guys just got big enough where it's hard to do that stuff without somebody recognizing them.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know? Like these people that do stuff online and everything, like a lot of them aren't stars yet.
Yeah, we don't know who you are. Sorry, you can pull the prank off a lot easier.
Yeah. Some of those guys are risking death too, man. There's one guy I started following. It's a black dude, and he just goes to like the hoods upon hoods, and he's like, it's a prank, and I'm like, you're gonna get shot.
You're going to get shot, man.
Yeah, he's like dropping guns and money, and then people are like, this is mine now. And he's like, I need it back. I'm like,
okay.
Yeah, do your own thing. I mean,
good luck.
Have at it, buddy.
Correct.
Yeah,
that's one of those things. You're like, I don't know, dude. You got your own thing going on there. Go ahead and try that. We talked about Severance a lot lately.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the thing is, right, you kind of cut off part of your day, right? So it severs your work life from your personal life. So you don't remember working. You just fast forward to the end of the day. You go home. You get 8 hours a day. You lose 8 hours a day, literally.
All right.
Right? But you don't worry about work when you're home and stuff because it really doesn't exist to you. So that's the question they're asking people now. Like, would you agree to this?
I've had jobs where I would have, for sure. But like, if I don't have to think about this, and not so much about when I get home from work, but thinking about what I have to do when I get to work.
Yeah. I've also had situations which were the reverse. Like, I wanted to stay as work,
yeah.
working as much as I could because at home was not a good situation. So, like, to me, it was like, yeah, it's probably going to be another hour here. No, you go ahead and eat. No, go ahead. If you're that starving, sounds like you're hangry. You go ahead. I'll take care of myself.
Yeah, some of my old restaurant jobs and all that, not all of them, but there were a few where it's like, yeah, if you could sever that from me, I would be A-okay with that. This job, I like.
Sure.
Like, no, man, I want to remember this. It's a good time.
It is. I think it would just, I don't know, like, I think it would affect what you do in your personal life, too.
Sure.
Like, if I just knew I could do whatever I want and then go to sleep on Sunday night and just wake up and it's Monday evening at 7 and I'm just sitting on my couch, I'd be like, all right. But then I'd also probably be a degenerate every damn Sunday.
But here's the thing, but you're still working. Like, I know I'd definitely be a degenerate. But on the other hand, apparently I'm doing okay at the job. I still got it. I just know nothing about it. I don't even know what I do. Right? I don't know what I do for a living. I have a paycheck. Cool.
Well, they do call it Sunday Funday.
Yeah.
Not being a degenerate, but I mean, typically
you're being a degenerate.
Yes.
Well, yeah. But Sunday Funday, like, I try not to say that term too often.
Because
I feel like once you speak it into existence and you're like, we're having a Sunday Funday, then you've pretty much committed to that Monday's going to kind of suck.
If you say it out loud to a group of people, it's almost like saying, we just got a free trip to Vegas. Like, everyone drops their guard down, like, let's do it.
Yeah. And trust me, not me, not at all. But man, if you're drinking during the day and then try to take a nap in the evening and you wake up, it's 10:30 at night. That is such a weird feeling.
It is.
I mean, luckily, maybe there was F1 qualifying on at midnight. I don't know. That's what some people are saying. Happens to the best of them, Miles.
Yes.
I know you got some of the women's tournament still going on. You might have a couple spring training games. I think they're about wrapped up as, first pitch of the regular season starts on Thursday.
Boom. Hey, it's Ed. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. Florida woman runs over a cyclist and continues driving
to the country club.
Meanwhile, because a man would not stop clicking his lighter, a plane has to land at a different hub. Mm-hmm. Canadian woman learns what happens when you try to hold a parking space. 10 of 13 police cars crash after being involved in a high-speed chase. And doctors in New York cure a man of sickle cell anemia. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my car.
And our top story, we take to the skies where one stubborn passenger managed to ground a plane. While on the flight bound from Dallas to New York, flight crews turned their attention to the passenger who was fiddling with an item. A lighter that he had in his possession. Now, they were saying, how did he get the lighter on board? You are allowed to have one lighter on
board. Yeah, you can bring a lighter on board.
You just can't pull it out while you're on the plane.
Yeah.
While he wasn't burning anything with the lighter, he was sparking it up periodically and apparently enough to warn attendants asking for him to surrender it for the remainder of the flight. This was clearly not an option for our passenger, as he refused to give up the lighter, in spite of crews demanding that he relinquish it and even a threat from the cockpit, with the captain saying that he would divert the plane to Atlanta if he didn't give up the lighter. The passenger stood his ground, and the plane was forced to land, where officers removed the passenger and took him in for a mental evaluation. Video of the interaction was shared online.
Seems that way.
And he
just wasn't brutal. Very rational.
No, he wasn't.
He didn't seem to be drunk in the video.
No.
So, I think there might be something going on.
He just refused to do it. And the
simplest command.
Right. Which, the fact that they brought him in for a mental evaluation tells me that it wasn't as simple as it looks from our end. Like,
correct. Yeah, guaranteed.
Give him the doggone lighter, man. But
anyone else would just be arrested. In this case, like, there's more to this.
Right. Let's take you in.
I gotta have my lighter.
How you doing, buddy?
That's scarier.
It is.
It is.
And drunk guy can be crazy and out of control, but at some point, I'm like, all right.
Right.
Like, somebody just kind of crazy like that, you're like, who knows what they're going to do.
Well, and he was even over the speaker on the plane, like, you will get it back when we land in New York.
Right.
We don't want you to have it now.
I've never heard the pilot talk to an individual passenger before.
No kidding.
That was weird.
Mid-flight.
Like, hey, buddy. B-16, seriously, man.
Right.
Cut this out. Yeah, that's basically what it was, or I'm going to take the plane and land it.
Right.
I will turn this plane around.
And
don't make me stop.
In other news, to Winnipeg, where another situation boiled out of control. A woman was in the parking lot adjacent to a recreational facility and took it upon herself to scout out a potential parking spot for a family member that was on their way, weaving through the actual lot of the facility before conceding to park in the adjacent lot. The woman did find a spot and saved it for the family member by standing in it, and that's about the time that another car attempted to park there. An argument ensued between the car and the pedestrian because she refused to move and the car wanted to park there, but it eventually ended with the driver of the car forcing their way into the spot, knocking over the pedestrian and lodging her underneath the front of the car. The driver eventually thought better of the situation and left the scene, quote, with no concern for the victim, who probably just pissed her off. The victim was taken to the hospital to be treated for non-life-threatening injuries to her lower body, and a suspect was arrested for the collision there. I've seen videos of that, and there is very little that is more rage-inducing than somebody who's just standing in a spot waving you off.
That's not how it works.
Right. That is just not how this works.
If they're here, they can have the party. If they're not here, then that's not how it works.
Exactly. And don't use the fact that they have a bigger machine than you, so therefore they can't do anything about it, because if they do, then they're going to go to jail, to then stand in a spot and just insist that you're not going to move. That makes you a douchebag, and now I have to act.
And have you seen people lately?
Yeah.
You ain't going to make great decisions when they're angry.
Yeah, no. Exactly. Everybody's just popping off. But not to be outdone, a woman in Palm Beach, Florida is facing charges for her driving habits. She was driving down the road when she came upon a bicyclist traveling in the same direction. It's not clear whether she fully knew it or not, but the woman did make contact with the bike, causing the rider to fall, and both he and his bike were drugged by the woman's Mercedes for a short distance. After they separated, the woman continued on her way, not immediately stopping following the collision. Police eventually tracked her down to a local country club, where she had where the valet reported that she had dropped off the car, commenting that she thinks she may have hit something on the way and went in for her golf lesson.
Damn. Oh, how about your driving lesson?
Yeah. She was arrested and faces some serious charges. The bicyclist was transported to the hospital to be treated for injuries, including a compound fracture to his tibia.
Ooh. Did you get her license plate? Yeah, she dragged me like 30 feet.
And that's another one where she was old enough to where it's like, okay, let's get her evaluated and see if she actually should still have a driver's license.
I would say no.
Right.
It might be time to take that.
Yeah, she's not ancient, but if you can drive in the same direction as a bicycle, hit them, drag them, and go, I think I might have hit something.
Yeah, don't drive.
Right.
You can be 30 years old and do that. Like, don't drive.
Correct. You can't pay that simple amount of attention. Because it's, bikes, they can be annoying. Look, bicyclists
but
have pissed me off.
Just hit them.
Right. And they're not invisible either.
That's a human being.
Criminy. But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
A young man in New York has a new lease on life thanks to being the first patient cured with a new treatment. He'd suffered his life with a genetic disorder known as sickle cell anemia, a genetic mutation meant to protect humans from the malaria parasite, but sometimes results in blood cells taking on a sickle shape and creates difficulty for those cells to reach the heart, resulting in pain throughout the body. He had pain in his heart, in his chest, he had pain in his legs, in his hips, in his arms, he had it everywhere. Our 21-year-old is the first to try the breakthrough Lyfgenia treatment, I believe is how you say that. And over the last few months, doctors can now officially say that he has been cured of sickle cell.
That's crazy.
He looks at this day as his new birthday and says that there's nothing that's going to stop him now.
He was then hit by the driver in Florida. Right.
And then they released that Falcon.
Right. He began a 500-mile bicycle journey.
Hits by an 18-wheeler, boom.
I got it.
Thankfully, there's good news.
Oops, not that one. Men's Room Sports, brought to you by the fine folks at Sports on What. As Ted mentioned, we have a few sports that are on tonight. Nothing really local. Local's a little bit quiet as we're getting ready for the start of the MLB season. Hockey's starting to wrap down, but you do have a spring training baseball, NBA basketball, and college tournament hoops, and you can find out where and when to watch all those games in one convenient location. It is called the Sports on What app. As far as your weather, boys, it is time. Should just be sticking to cloud cover tonight as temperatures drop to 48, but hold on to your hats. We're looking at a partly cloudy day tomorrow with an astonishing high of 68 degrees.
Nice. Yeah. 68 degrees. The sun's finally
just
coming.
Just stop there, bro.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. That's it for headlines with that. Mike Hawk is out.
Lovely ladies, tomorrow on Sit and Spin. Speaking of, the lovely Jolene is up next.
Yes, indeed. It's all true. But in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.